God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things.
Warm greetings to you, dear friends. Thank you for being with us. This is Pastor Larry from Southwest Radio Church. Bill Maher is hardly a conservative, and his guests are hardly conservatives. However, some liberals have been doing some deep thinking. Former New York Times opinion editor Barry Weiss and Harper's Magazine columnist Thomas Williams appeared on Real Time with Bill Maher. They explained the open letter they penned blasting cancel culture. Other well-known liberals, such as J.K. Rowling and feminist Gloria Steinem, all defended open and free debate. Weiss called the open letter a warning cry from inside the institutions and linked cancel culture to, quote, social murder. Weiss went on to claim that politics has become a religious identity for many Americans. She pointed to Trump supporters and how on the left, to be anything less than defund the police makes you something like a heretic. Well, maybe there is a glimmer of sanity on the horizon. People do realize that there is something bigger than lineage or skin, or the political tribe we belong to. It's up to liberals and conservatives to defend the ideas that made America unique. Many people have done things that are completely to no avail, actually really dumb. There's a man who walked into a Circle K and put a $20 bill on the counter, and he asked for change. When the clerk opened the cash drawer, the man pulled a gun and asked for all the cash in the register. So the man took the cash from the clerk and fled, leaving the $20 bill on the counter. Well, how much cash did he get from the drawer, from his thievery? $15. You know, friends, we've all done silly things, but one of the worst examples is to say we know who we are as the church and not really live it and not be true to your words. Our guest once again is Pastor Billy Crone. In our previous program, we were visiting with him and discussed his new book and companion DVD, The Character of the Church. Pastor Billy Crone, thank you for being with us once again.
Thank you, Dr. Sparks-Mino. It's always great to be on.
Well, before we start with the interview, let me ask you, how are things going in Las Vegas, and are you doing all of your services online, or are the churches reopening?
Well, I can't speak for other churches, but we are open, and we are also doing our online broadcast. We've done that throughout this whole circumstance that's going on with this virus thing. But yeah, we are open, and part of that is because, guess what? That's what the Bible says to do. As the church says, do not forsake the assembly of the brethren, as some are in the habit of doing. And by the way, I've shared this before in a previous interview, that the word there in the Greek, as some are in the habit of doing, means as prescribed by law. And the usage in the New Testament is referring either to Roman civil law or Jewish religious law. So you could translate that verse as the church, guess what? Says do not, God says this, not me, God says do not forsake the assembly of the brethren as prescribed by law. So you need to figure out who you're going to worship and who you're going to follow and who you're going to take as a higher authority. Well, you might get persecuted. Oh, well, welcome to being the real church.
Right. That's, when Christians tell me that they're not being persecuted, I think, well, are you living your Christian life? Or if a church is just everything is fine, no problems whatsoever, I'm thinking, now, there's got to be something wrong with that. Satan is going around as a roaring lion. And if you can claim to be a Christian and have a run a Bible-believing church, you're a member there, a pastor there, and there are no challenges, I think there's something drastically wrong. And I know you folks are very politically incorrect and true to the Word of God, and I praise the Lord for that. Well, let's continue talking about the ecclesia of God. It's the body of Christ, and you mentioned it's also a body of brides and a body of one. Tell us about some of those things.
Well, again, the unfortunate thing is that it's I run off this phrase that, you know, we're suffering as the church from practical amnesia. And basically, it's very convenient that we act like we forget who we are. And you look at our behavior, and oftentimes, and you compare it to the Bible, which is supposed to be our rule for faith and practice, it certainly looks like that way. It's like we've forgotten who we are. And again, as I shared last time, the word church, ecclesia, as you mentioned, means a group of called out ones. That it's a group of people saved through Jesus Christ, called out of this wicked world system. They're still here. We're in the world, we're just not of it. And we gather together okay, maybe in a building or a home or wherever, but that's the first big hurdle. You know, we say we go to church. You don't go to church. You are the church. You're the body of Christ, right? And so we forget who we are, but that's an easy example. The other ones really have to do with character issues that by the Spirit of God that we are called to emulate to this world. And I tell you what, our world is just waiting for the church to frankly be the real church, certainly this time. And so we break it down. You know, you mentioned the one with the body of one. Now tell me that right now with what's going on in the country is not applicable. And basically what we're talking about is if you read the Bible, which I highly recommend, especially if you're a Christian, the Bible says that we are all, as Christians, part of the body of Christ, not a building. Each one of us make up the body of Christ, okay? And that when we get saved, that we are totally one. We're completely unified. And that is something that you not only can never find in this world, but that is certainly not going on in our country today. And so here comes the church. If you just be the real church and not just say it, then, man, it's going to attract people like a moth to a flame to Jesus Christ. They're going to, who wouldn't want to be a part of a group of people called out of this wicked world system, gathering together? It doesn't matter what background you have, no, what skin color, what size, what weight, what age, what pedigree, whatever. You really not just get together, but you love each other, and you care for each other, and you're learning about God together, and there's peace in your midst, and you take care of each other. And man, can I be a part of that? Right? But that's not what we're doing. And again, this is what we expose. It's not just we're called to be a body one, but what's going on? And you take a look at the church today, a lot of it is we're giving a false message of what the church is, right? We're supposed to be a body one, but what happens? You go to a lot of churches today, I've noticed, man, you got churches in plain favoritism, if you will, and they're in these little cliques, right? And sometimes you hear people like, man, I'm going here, you hear horror stories. Somebody walks into a church service, and then somebody says, oh, you're new here? I've been coming here for 5 years. What are you talking about? Right? And we laugh about it because it's so true. But it's like, how can that happen if we're a body of one, if we're engaged in each other's lives because we love each other? We're you know, Scripture says we got one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit. I mean, we are one in Christ. That's so clear in the Scripture. But how can you have these Christian cliques, right? How could you say, well, I'm not going to hang out with those people? And again, believe it or not, that was actually going on in the Corinthian church. Paul had to deal with that. And it's called disunity. It's counterproductive to who the church really is. We're supposed to be one. And, you know, Paul says he had to correct them. He said, I hear some of you guys saying, like, oh, I'm a follower of Paul. No, I prefer Apollos. And some would say, oh, no, I'm just, you know, I'm just only following. No. And Paul says, listen, everybody in the church, God gives gifts to serve and help and encourage one another. Everybody's important. So what are you doing giving in this favoritism? And again, we bring in Dr. Spargimino on the study, so many practical video clips, anecdotes, stories, true stories of what is this supposed to look like, right? And oftentimes what's unfortunate is sometimes the world truly understands the power and the concept of being one much more than we do. Right? There should be no reason for somebody to come to a church service, right, and join us as Christians, as the church, gathering together as the body of Christ, and feel like an outsider. Right? Let me give you an example. There was this little boy, his name was Ian. He was in fifth grade, and this is a true story. And one day he got the news that he had cancer as a little fifth grader, right? And so, having no choice in the matter, he begins, you know, chemotherapy. And if that wasn't bad enough, then he had to face the harsh reality of his hair falling out in clumps, and so he had to shave his head. And of course, you're a fifth grader, right? That's not cool, having a shaved head and all that stuff. But listen, this is a true story. One of his classmates, Kyle Hanslick, he got an idea, and he said, if all of us boys in the fifth grade would have our heads shaved, then nobody will know who's who. Nobody will know who's got cancer and who doesn't. And so listen, Kyle and the rest of the fifth grade boys made their manly decision. All 13 of them went down to the barbershop, shaved their heads too. Why? Because Kyle said, quote, the last thing that Ian needs now is to feel like he doesn't fit in. Folks, that's how the church is supposed to be, right? I don't care what background, I don't care what sins you used to be involved in, I don't care what your pedigree is, I don't care if you just got off the streets, just got off drugs, or you're just some pagan off the street, you came out of the occult or witchcraft, or you're just some so-called, I was just a good American trying not to beat my dog. You know, hey, listen, whatever you came out of and you came to Christ, that's the beauty of the church. We're one. We're all accepted. We love each other. That's how it's supposed to be. And again, with all the turmoil going on in the world today, Dr. Spargimino, if we got back to that, what would happen? I think people would be getting saved in droves, because who wouldn't want to be a part of that?
Well, the scripture makes it very clear that we are in the world, but not of the world. But when the world gets into the church and the church begins to look like the world, we really have a problem. Because I think when a church is truly the church, I think you mentioned that before, that there's a magnetism there. I think people are looking for something that's genuine and something that's real.
Yes, exactly. And in fact, let me share one more story with you. This is really powerful. And it's basically a story of a college kid. He comes in into the church, you know, again, first time there. And the church facility was across the street from the college, and he just walks in. He wanted to go to a church service, right? So he gets in. He didn't know better. He's dressed up in these jeans. They're kind of all tore up and stuff, and he didn't even have shoes on and a ragged old shirt. And of course, he comes in. Nobody would give him a seat. Nobody, I kid you not. Nobody would scoot over, nothing. So he was forced to go all the way to the front, still couldn't get a seat, and he sits right smack dab right at the middle, right in front of the pulpit. And then everybody's like, oh, you know, you hear him whispering, I can't believe it, look at this guy, right? And then all of a sudden this deacon gets up, right? And he gets up and he starts slowly walking from the back of the sanctuary towards this guy, right? And you could hear the congregation mumbling. They're like, oh, yeah, you can't blame him for what he's going to do. You know, that kid, how dare he, you know, all that stuff. I kid you not, listen to this, right? The deacon, he finally makes it to where Mike is sitting there. The whole congregation was silent. You could hear a pin drop. And then all of a sudden, with great difficulty because of his age, he lowers himself. He sits right down next to Mike, the college student, so Mike would not have to worship God alone. And the minister said his famous phrase, "What I'm about to preach, you will never remember, but what you have just seen, you will never forget." That's the church. That's how we're supposed to be. And let me give you one more real quick example. And this is just on the, you know, out of 14 different character issues that we need to get back to being the antidote to the ills of our society today is the church. This is just what we're talking about. It's just the one called the body of one. But let me give you another one. And tell me, Dr. Spargimino, this is not desperately needed today. And that is the issue that is the antidote to racism. Right? People think that, you know, what it's tearing down statues. That's what it's going to be. No, it's erasing American history. That's what. No, it's not. You want the antidote to racism? It's get saved through Jesus Christ. Because Paul says in Galatians 3, 26 and 28, so you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female. Why? Because you are all Christians. You are all one in Christ Jesus. This is an amazing truth. No matter what you have, what your background is, what your skin color is, all of it, that when you get saved in Jesus Christ, we're all one, right? And that is a basic truth of being a part of the real church, the actual church, the biblical church. And if we live like that, man, again, talk about a witness. People will come flocking. Who wouldn't want to be a part of a church that there really, truly was no racism? Because they know that as soon as you become a Christian, that's all done. We're all one in Christ, right? We're all covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Nobody's no different than everybody. We're all born-again Christians, one in Christ. Now, let me give you an example of how this plays out in a positive sense. It didn't start out that way, and this, again, is a true story. And this was actually, believe it or not, back in the 50s, before even the 60s of segregation. And this was in North Carolina. But this is what happens when you put the biblical paradigm first and you live that way as the church. Man, people come a-flocking, right? But this is in North Carolina, and this guy, he goes there to this church service, and he was, I think, a guest speaker, and he gets there, and this was, again, the 50s, and this church in North Carolina, they had like 500-600 people. They were packed. But they weren't just packed. They were completely 50-50 split, black people, white people, all of them together. And so he asked the preacher there, he says, man, how'd you guys get this way? And he said, you know, what way? He says, well, you know, you got, you're completely mixed, black and white, all together in a huge church. How'd this happen? And again, this is in North Carolina in the 50s. And true story, he says, well, he said, it wasn't always that way. He said, we were a small church. We had about 20 members. And again, and now there was hundreds and hundreds. And he says, one day our preacher died and we couldn't get a new preacher nohow. And he said, so after about 2 or 3 months, I went to the deacons and I told them that if they couldn't get a preacher, I'd be the preacher. So they let me preach. He said, I got up there next Sunday and I opened my Bible and I put my finger down and land on the verse, and it said this, in Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, everybody's one in Christ Jesus. And I told them that the church, when the church is the true church, that they don't know any of these racial divisions. They don't know any of these ethnic divisions, and everybody's one in the church of Jesus Christ. And I preached that to them, and listen to this. He said, after the service was over, the deacons called me in the back room, and they told me they didn't want to hear that kind of preaching anymore. And so the guest speaker asked me, he says, well, what'd you do then? And the old hillbilly preacher, he said, I fired them deacons. And then he said, well, how come they didn't fire you? He said, because they never hired me. And he says, and then once I found out what bothered those people, listen to this, this is a true preacher of God. He said, I gave it to them every week, right? And I put the knife in the same spot and turned it. And he says, did they put up with it? He says, no. He said, I preached that church down to four. And then he says this, listen, he says, you know, sometimes people, revival begins not when you get a lot of new people into the church. Sometimes revival begins when you get a lot of the old people, the fakers, the phony, out of the church. And he says, well, what happened then? He said, well, from then on, we wouldn't let anybody in that church unless they really loved Jesus. And he says, well, how can you tell if they really love Jesus? Quote, well, when people love Jesus, they love each other no matter who the person is.
That's so beautiful, and I've been really heartbroken when I see all the division in so many churches. I've often said a divided church has nothing to say to a divided world, and our world really is divided. Well, Pastor Billy Crone has been our guest. Pastor Billy, we're going to have you back for another show. We're certainly looking forward to being with you on our next broadcast. Matthew, please come to the mic and tell our listeners how they can get the character of the church.
Thank you, Pastor Larry. Our identity comes from Jesus Christ. It is like we forgot we're the blood-bought church. Our special offer today is the new 7-DVD set titled The Character of the Church. You can have your own set for a gift of $30 if you live in the United States and $55 if you live in Canada. To get yours, just call our call center at 1-800-652-1144. If you'd rather write to us and place your order, the address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And you can order on our website. Just go to swrc.com. And while you're online, stop by our Facebook page and let us know where you're from. Leave us a comment. We also have the book with the same title, The Character of the Church. You can have a copy of the book for a gift of $20. Better yet, get both the DVDs and the book for a gift of $45. Read the book and give it away. You still have the DVDs. That number again is 1-800-652-1144. The address is Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And the website is swrc.com. Here again is Pastor Larry.
Father Damien is honored in Hawaii. He gave his life sacrificially in his service to those who were being eaten up by Hansen's disease, also known as leprosy. Father Damien learned of the need for a priest from Molokai's 700 residents and volunteered. It is said that through the influence of his teaching and his life, Molokai became a place to live rather than a place to die. Assisted by patients, he built houses, constructed a water system, and planted trees. He also organized schools, bands, and choirs. He provided medical care for the living and buried the dead.
However, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has blasted this man as, quote, an artifact of patriarchy and white supremacist culture, close quotes. Ocasio-Cortez launched her attack on the missionary because of his statue in the state capitol building, one of two representing the state of Hawaii. She said his statue shows the patterns that have emerged in which people are honored in the capitol. Virtually all men, all white, and mostly both, Ocasio-Cortez said. She also accused Christians of weaponizing the Bible to support bigotry.
There have been great men and women from every ethnicity and culture. No one questions that. I certainly don't. However, that must not lead us to belittle and stigmatize the good work of white males, many of whom have lived and died sacrificially and have suffered greatly for their commitment to improving human life, helping the poor, and laboring for equality. Ocasio-Cortez, the BLM movement, the radical feminist, and many others have created a new class of supremacists everyone who is not white and not male.
Racism, class distinction, and the supremacist mindset is wrong. We will never solve those problems by creating a new class of so-called better people. The Black Lives Matter movement has done a terrible disservice to humanity by focusing on one particular group. All lives matter because all, men and women, light-skinned and dark-skinned people, have been created in the image of God.
Ocasio-Cortez is a member of the so-called squad, radical left-wingers that even view Joe Biden as part of the white supremacist culture. She has declared, quote, "The world is going to end in 12 years if we don't address climate change," and has insisted the government spend trillions of dollars on her radical Green New Deal. Once during a hearing, she demanded that Wells Fargo CEO Timothy Sloan explain why his company was involved in caging children. He patiently explained the company wasn't engaged in caging children. She also wondered whether it's okay to still have children since the world is ending in 12 years. Her socialist anti-investment ideas led Amazon to cancel its plan for a second headquarters in the Long Island City area, a deal that would have created 25,000 new jobs. Marvin, I always knew there was something terribly wrong with that woman.
In uncertain days, with the economy locked down, it's easy to be concerned about the financial future. There's another trend that is equally concerning. John Stone Street, writing in BreakingPoint.org on August 3rd, focused in on it. He said, "A recent BBC headline claimed the world is facing a jaw-dropping global crash. Not an economic crash, mind you, but a crash in the birth rate." Citing a new study by University of Washington, the BBC article claims that falling fertility rates mean nearly every country could have shrinking populations by the end of the century. In fact, 23 countries, including Spain, Portugal, Japan, and South Korea, could see their populations cut in half by the year 2100. The same study found that between 1950 and 2017, the global fertility rate went from 4.7 children per woman to 2.4, and it's expected to drop below 1.7 per woman by 2100. A fertility rate of 2.1 children per woman is required to maintain a stable population. A few suggested explanations for the drop, according to the BBC article, include more women in education and work, and greater access to contraception, which leads to women choosing to have fewer children. I think it's incredibly hard to think this through and recognize how big a thing this population crash is, said University of Washington professor Christopher Murray. It's extraordinary. We'll have to reorganize societies. In his book, What to Expect When No One is Expecting, Weekly Standard digital editor Jonathan Last suggests that any country in which citizens aren't having enough babies can look forward to long-term economic stagnation and social deterioration. After all, children are the economic engines of the future, both tomorrow's labor force and tomorrow's consumers. On the BBC, Professor Murray said, "Who pays tax in a massively aged world? Who pays for health care for the elderly? Who looks after the elderly? Will people still be able to retire from work? It gets worse." Journalist Philip Longman years ago opined, "As governments raise taxes on a dwindling work-age population to cover growing burdens of supporting the elderly, young couples may conclude they are even less able to afford children." In places like Japan and Europe, some governments actually pay couples to have children. Writing at the Gospel Coalition, Philip Jenkins describes yet another vicious circle. Increased fertility is often associated with traditional religious beliefs, but as more believers accept secular ideas about sex, family, and the purpose of life, their connection to religious institutions weakens. shrinking religious institutions in turn lead to increased secularization. Babies have this unique ability to make adults care more about the future and even think beyond their own lifetimes. Babies incline people to save, invest, sacrifice, and most importantly, defer gratification. The best reason to steward the planet is so our children and grandchildren can enjoy its fruits and grandeur. Christians should always encourage those government policies that make it easier for couples to choose life. We have to debunk the overpopulation myth that should have died decades ago. Maybe the Lord really did know what he was talking about when he told Noah's family in Genesis 9:7, "And you, be ye fruitful and multiply, bring forth abundantly in the earth and multiply therein." Surely he wouldn't have said that if he thought we would destroy the earth. How do I refuse to take a vaccine legally? That may become an issue sometime in the foreseeable future. First of all, do not specifically refuse to take it. Do not act in a belligerent manner toward the authorities. Here is how to politely decline taking a vaccine. 1. Ask the one who wants to administer it if the vaccine has MRC5 in it. If it does, you have the right to decline having it given to you. MRC5 includes aborted fetal cells as an ingredient. And 2, ask the doctor if there is a chance of an adverse reaction caused by a variety of compounds in the vaccine and other drugs you may already be taking interacting with each other if you accept the vaccine. This is called latrogenic reaction. If the doctor is honest, he'll say yes. This gives you a reason to refuse.
2. Gentlemen. If you'd like to be empowered, then don't forget our special offer. Just call our toll-free number, 1-800-652-1144, and we'll get that right out to you. If you have a question or comment, or if you need prayer, just send your letter to Post Office Box 76834, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73147. And take time to visit us online at swrc.com. And please check out our Facebook page. Thanks for joining us today. Join us tomorrow when Pastor Larry and Billy Crone wrap up this series on the Watchman on the Wall program from Southwest Radio Church.